chapter number 21. Truly is a privilege to be able to be here. Thank you so much for all the work that's been put into this. Tell you what, the food has just been outstanding. This morning, I'm telling you what, the plate kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And just wonderful time to be able to fellowship. And so thankful for inviting us to be able to come. And I'll have to admit, whenever I was asked to be able to preach, I've been praying. I said, Lord, what in the world is a 35-year-old that I can say to some of these men? And what exactly can I preach? And he laid a message on my heart. And so I trust that from the Word of God, God will help you this morning. And so let's stand together, 2 Kings chapter number 21. We're going to start reading in verse number 10. Read down to verse number 16. The Bible says this, "And the Lord spake by his servants, the prophets, saying, Because Manasseh king of Judah hath done these abominations and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sit with his idols, to sin with his idols. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turneth it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies, because they have done that which was evil in my sight, and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, beside his sin, wherewith he made Judah to sin in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord." Here we are, men's retreat, thinking about what masculine things we could preach on this morning. Thinking about all the things that us men enjoy doing, like hunting and fishing and building and all those things. So with that in mind, I want us to look at the end of verse number 13, where it says, "And I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down." I'm going to preach on when God does the dishes this morning. Amen. When God does the dishes. First, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you, dear Lord God, that you'd be with us. I pray, God, that you would help me to be able to communicate with what you've put in my heart today. Lord, I realize that of my flesh I can do nothing. Oh God, I can do nothing. God, I pray that the Holy Ghost of God would please empower me to be able to preach today. And I pray, Lord, as we leave here this morning, that God, we'd have a fervor and a desire to be closer to you than ever before. Bless now this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When God does the dishes. I just got a few points that I want to point out to you from these verses of Scripture, and then we'll be done and get out of the way for my dad to come preach here in a minute. First of all, when God does the dishes are dirty to begin with. They got to be dirty to begin with. Look at verse number 2. I'll show you what I mean. The Bible says in verse number 2, "And he," this is talking about Manasseh, "did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel." The people were doing evil in the sight of God. Their king was having them do evil in the sight of God. Not only was the king committing sin himself, but he was causing other people to commit great sin. And may I say by that, as we're talking to you men today, be careful who you associate with. Be careful your association. We always talk to the teenagers about that, and watch your friends and watch your acquaintances. But I tell you what, us as parents and us as fathers need to make sure we watch who we associate with too. We sometimes can get to the place in our life where we think, well, God, I have a little more wisdom. I have a little bit more maturity about me, so I can handle it. I know how to do it. Hey, be careful who you associate with. Be careful the friends that will bring you down. Be careful the acquaintances that will bring you down. And God's people are doing evil in his sight, and the dishes are dirty. Look at verse number 3. Look what else they're doing. "For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father hath destroyed." Notice here, they don't worship like their fathers used to worship.
Hey, be careful that we say that those old paths, that those old ways that grandma and grandpa used to do are not good for the modern times today. Let me tell you something. We just need to get back to those old paths. We need to get back doing it the way that God wants us to live. And so we need to make sure that our worship, not only in our churches, but let me apply it to you today, in our homes, is right with God. It's one thing to be able to come to the house of God and hear the preacher get up and preach with fervor and with power on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But sir, if you don't promote that in the home when you go back, if you don't say to your children, hey, we're going to go this direction, what the preacher said we're going to do, if they're going to grow up with a double-mindedness in their mind. And we know according to James that a double-minded man is unstable, not just in some of his ways, but all of his ways. And you're going to mess a kid up. I've seen, being a preacher's kid myself, I've seen preacher's kids get messed up because of things like that. I've seen church members' kids get messed up because they lived one way at home and a different way at church. Oh, make sure that our worship is right. Make sure that we're not tearing down the things that our forefathers built up from the Word of God and trying to do things a different way. We just need to stick with the book. Notice here that their worship was not like their fathers used to worship. So what did they worship? Well, they started worshiping things that don't matter. Look at the middle of verse number 3, and he reared up altars for Baal. Baal is a false god. Baal is an idol. Baal can't do anything for these people. Baal has no power whatsoever. And so they started, not only did they push away the worship that God wanted them to do, but they started worshiping things that had no meaning, like jobs, like vacations, like retirement funds. Hey, nothing wrong with having those things. But when you start worshiping those things, you're going to mess up your kids. You're going to mess up your home. You're going to dirty your home up, sir. You're going to dirty your home up whenever you start worshiping wrong things. Well, I got to work overtime to be able to pay for this and pay for that. And I'm going to push away the house of God. And I'm going to push away God in our life to be able to put a job first or put things. Hey, God can take that job away from you, sir. God can take the ability to do that job away from you. How many times have we seen, especially even in this day and age, where there'll be a man that will work for a company for years and years and years and years, and then all of a sudden something will happen at the last minute, that company will get bought out, and the retirement that he thought he had is now gone. And I'm not trying to heap sorrow on top of sorrow for people that have had that happen to, but let me tell you something. Keep your focus on God. Don't serve a job. Don't serve a paycheck. Make sure that you're worshiping the right thing, sir. Notice here that they got their worship out of place. They were distracted by sacrificing for their family and pleasure instead of God. Not only that, look what they spent their time on. In the middle of verse number 3, after it says, and he reared up altars for Baal, he also said, and he made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel. You go study those groves in the Bible. You study how that those groves were a part of pagan worship. Those groves were something that was beautiful to man's eyes. Those groves were a sign that we are serving a false god. And I'm reminded of, if you go and read, when even Abraham, when he came out of Ur of the Chaldees, that was a pagan place, ladies and gentlemen. You go back and study that out, and you'll find out that those Ur of the Chaldees worshiped the moon god, is who they worshiped. And that has its roots in the modern day Islam today. If you study all that out, we're dealing with the same thing today that Abraham was dealing with way back then, if you study that out. But let me tell you something. He saw pagan worship all around him. And just before Abraham went to Mount Moriah, just before he took Isaac to be able to sacrifice him, and that ram was caught in the thicket, the Bible says in the verse before that chapter that Abraham built a grove and called upon God. He was trying to marry the pagan way with the new way. And in the next chapter, you know what God had him build? Had him build an altar. Amen. Had him build an altar. Because, ladies and gentlemen, one lady and several gentlemen, but anyways, we get to the place where we try to make something of our life that's pleasing to the eye, that's pleasing to everybody else, when God, all he wants is an old-fashioned altar that may not be pleasing to the world, but it's pleasing to God. Amen. How about So they were building groves. You notice every time the children of Israel went astray, every time they started worshiping when they weren't supposed to worship, they always built these groves. Why? Because that looks good to the eye. Hey, an old altar that's been sacrificed on with ashes all over it, all black and probably smelly and has blood all over it, stained to the world. You just want to go by it as fast as you possibly can because it doesn't look good. But God said, oh, that's a sweet smell. Oh, that's a wonderful odor to my nostrils. Why? Because it's man putting himself on the back burner. I'm putting God in the forefront. And that's exactly what we need to do in our homes. What we need to do, gentlemen, in our lives is we need to put ourselves on the back burner and put God forward. We can try to build our groves all we want to, but may I remind you that grove is made out of vegetation, but an altar's made out of rock. Rock will last a whole lot longer than what vegetation will, and if we try to do things of our effort, it'll wither and die and go away. So they started building a grove to call upon God. They got their worship out of place. The dishes were dirty. Dishes were dirty to begin with. Not only that, but notice here that they polluted the house of God. Look at verse number 4. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Look at verse number 7. And he set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house, of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all of the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Now it's not just in the homes. Now it's not just the family. But now we're starting to see it creep into the church house. May we remember that the church house is made up of families. May we remember that before the church house to be able to get corrupted like we're seeing today, it's the families that got corrupted first. And then we start seeing the families say, well, you know what? We don't want a preacher that's going to preach out of the book anymore. We don't want a pastor that's going to be leather lung, fire breathing, and try to tell us about hell and about sin. We want somebody that's going to tickle our ears. And so before too long, now the families have been corrupted. They're like, you know what? We're tired of going Sunday morning and feeling bad when we go home and do our sin. We're tired of feeling bad when we go home and try to build our grove at our house whenever he's telling us to go to an altar. So they push out the man of God and they get some hireling to come in, and now they feel better about themselves, and before long there is groves being built in the very house that God said, I want to put my name there. I want to do a work for your family. And now you've even turned your haven and your sanctuary into a place where God can't move at all. That's where we're at today, gentlemen. That's where we're at today. That's what the world wants today. Notice here that not only did they pollute the house of God with their unbiblical worship, but then they started sacrificing their family. Verse number 6, and he made his son pass through the fire and observe times and use enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He's now sacrificing his family because he's gone so far. He has just started with just taking away the altars. He started taking away the high places. He started building again the high places that Hezekiah had gotten rid of. He said, I don't want to go the way Dad went. I don't want to go the way that the old time. I don't want to go the way David, my father, went. I want to go my way. And now he's literally sacrificing his son. Hey, be careful, Dad. Careful, Grandpa. Be careful that you let those dishes in your life get so dirty that you're worried about building your grove instead of letting the altar reign supreme in your house. We see here that the dishes are dirty to begin with. Number 2, when God does the dishes, not only are they dirty to begin with, but number 2, he lets them soak in the water for a while. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, neither will I make the feet of Israel move anymore out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according, watch this now, to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. I can remember when I was younger and my Mom would have us kids help with the dishes. She probably wanted us to do it more than what we actually did, but anyways. And I can remember we'd get some of those pans that maybe had those casseroles in them, and they had baked in the oven for a while, and there was stuff just crusted all on the outside and inside of that thing, and I'd put it in the water and try to scrub it out, and I'd say, Mom, this stuff's not coming out. It's just not going to happen. She says, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put a little soap in there. We're going to fill it up with water. We're going to set it off to the side. And then in a couple hours, we'll come back, and that stuff will just come off real easy. Hey, we may get to the place in our life where we get so crusty with this world. We may get so crusty that we got to soak it in the water for a little while. You say, what kind of water are you talking about? You know this verse, but go with me. Go to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, the Bible says there that God wanted them to keep the law, wanted them to observe the law. That's talking about the Word of God. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5, and look here at verse number 26. The Bible says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water. Look at that next phrase, by the Word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Hey, you know how you're going to get the dishes clean, sir? You know how God's going to clean the dishes in your life? With that life that's so concerned with the grove, with that life that's so concerned with unbiblical worship, it's going to have to soak in the precious Word of God. You're going to have to soak your family in the Bible. You're going to have to make sure they're around good preaching. You're going to have to make sure that they're around the good book. Why? Because when you soak those dirty dishes in the water, they'll come out clean every time. Amen. Sanctify them through the Word. Set them apart. Oh, hey, look what happens when you soak them in that water for a while. Verse number 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot. All of these commercials today about these pods that you put in dishwashers. Make sure they don't have any spot on them. Hallelujah. The Word of God cleans a whole lot better than any of those can. Amen. Amen. We need to, hey, your children soaked in the water of the Word of God won't have the spot of the world on it anymore. Now, one thing that I noticed whenever I would do dishes, whenever you had to do them by hand, you get your hands in that water for a while, and all of a sudden you'd pull out your hands, and you know what to do, the end of your tips of your fingers, they'd be wrinkled. But let me tell you something, when you put your life in the Word of God, you don't come out with wrinkles, because the Bible says that not having spot or wrinkle, amen, you don't have to worry about your hands coming out wrinkled like you do when you physically wash dishes. But when God washes the dishes, they'll come out just as smooth as can be. Why? Because we've been soaking it in the Word of God, amen. Not have any spot, no wrinkles, and then God's Word will always come before he sends judgment. You be reminded, we don't have time to go there, but remember Ezekiel? Remember how that God told Ezekiel that he was going to be a watchman over the children of Israel? He said, listen, Ezekiel, he said, if I tell you to tell the children of Israel about judgment to come, and he said, just like that watchman on the wall, if you don't tell them and the judgment comes, he said, the blood's going to be on your hands. But he said, if you tell them and they don't heed the warning, then the blood is on their hands. Hey, a Christian parent, Christian father, I'd hate to stand before God with the blood of my children on my hand because I didn't show them the Word of God, because I didn't keep them in a good Bible-believing church, because I let unbiblical worship into my home, and I was more concerned about building my grove than I was getting them in the Word of God. God will always give his word before judgment comes, but you got to get them around the Word of God. Show them what's right. When God does the dishes are dirty to begin with. He lets them soak in the water for a while. Now go back to 2 Kings chapter number 21. Number three, when God does the dishes, everyone around will know you're doing them. Look at verse number 12, back in 2 Kings 21. It says, therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. When my mom did the dishes in the house, when my wife does the dishes in the house, everybody in the house knows that the dishes are being done. I could be downstairs in my room. My parents were so cruel, they put us in the basement. I tell you what. we finished it first. All right, it was nice. It was great. It was wonderful. Even when I was downstairs in my room and the kitchen was upstairs, I could still hear the tinging and clanging around of those dishes. Why? Because everybody knew the dishes were being done. And when God starts a work in your life, sir, when he starts cleaning you up, when he starts getting your focus right, everybody around will know. Everybody around will know that God's trying to do something. Your pastor will know. Your wife will know. Your kids will know. Whenever God's trying to clean you up, trying to get you right, trying to make you the father you need to be. Hey, you young men that are here today, my boys included, hey, whenever you get to the place someday that you're going to have a family of your own, let God work in your life. Let him knock those edges off. Get alone with God and say, God, how do you want me to be the husband you want me to be? How do you want me to be the father you want me to be? Hey, it's not about you just being a macho man and going about it with yourself. Go to God and say, I'm wholly dependent upon you to be what you want me to be. Amen. Gotta have God not only just his help, but him to perform it in our life. Everyone around will know whenever the dishes are being done. All the nations knew that God was dealing with Israel, and everybody around you will know when God is dealing with you. Manasseh, wicked king, caused all of those people to do wickedly. But I'm glad this isn't the end of the story. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter number 33. That's not the end of the story. Number one, not only the dish is dirty to begin with, when God does the dishes, not only will he let him soak in the water of the word for a while, not only will everybody hear it, but let me tell you something. When God does the dishes, they'll be clean like they've never been clean before. Amen. When he does them, he does it thoroughly. Look here at 2 Chronicles 33, verse number 11. Wherefore the Lord brought upon the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with feathers and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, watch this, he besought the Lord his God, and he humbled himself greatly before God of his fathers, and he prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and he heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. When God does the dishes, they'll be clean like they've never been clean before. Manasseh seemed like a hopeless case. It seemed like that there's no way he'd ever get right with God. But hallelujah, when God does the dishes in your life, he'll take the drunkard and put him in the choir. He'll take the doper and put him as a deacon. Hallelujah, he can take a deadbeat dad and make him a faithful husband and father. Amen. Because when God does the dishes, they'll be clean like they've never been clean before. We see here, number one, they'll know who's doing the cleaning. Says at the end of verse number 13, he knew that the Lord, he was God. He'll know who's doing the cleaning. There'll be no doubt in their life, oh, this wasn't something that he did. This was something God did. Everybody around will know who's doing the cleaning. Look what they did after he got right with God. Verse number 15, and he took away the strange gods and the idols out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. Hey, he's cleaning house, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, I tell you what, a father, child of God, when God starts dealing with you, go all the way with God. Don't leave anything left. Don't just leave a little pet sin over here. Come to an old-fashioned altar, tear down the grove, hallelujah, get some Roundup and spray on that thing and let it die for the glory of God. Amen. We need to make sure that we get rid of everything that God wants us to get out. He took away everything that he had done. Yeah, but preacher, I've spent money on this. I've put a lot of money into this hobby. I've put a lot of money into this God. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. If it's keeping you from having the family God wants you to have, keeping you from having the boys and the daughters grow up, still be in church serving God, amen, get rid of it. No cost is too high. The false worship is gone. The house of God will be clean again. You'll have a healthy relationship with the house of God when God does the dishes in your life. You'll want to go to church. It won't be talking to the missus. It won't be talking to the kids. Well, should we go today or should we go to the lake? It'll be, no, we're going to church today. We're going to church. We got revival meeting tonight. Oh, Dad, we could be doing something else. We're going to revival meeting tonight. Amen. Amen. It'll get proper. It'll get the proper place in your life again when God does the dishes. When God does, watch this, verse number 16. And he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. You'll get the altar back in your life. He's concerned about that grove before, but now that grove means nothing to him. And now he's repairing the altar. And he'll cause other people, hey, God not only use you as a testimony of judgment in your life, but he'll also use you as a testimony of a trophy of grace, how that you can be restored again. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful God that does that? We don't deserve that, but he does it anyways. Then number 17, the focus will be on God and God only. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places. I know they didn't go quite all the way, but I like the last phrase of this verse, yet unto the Lord their God only. That's what you got to do. Serve him only. Can't be the job. Can't be the 401k. Can't be the relatives. Can't be the hobby. You fill in the blank. It's got to be God only. Got to be God only. May I implore you today. May I challenge you today. Not because Jeremiah Hart said it, but because the Word of God said it. Would you let God do the dishes in your life? Would you let God come and, as a man wipeth the dish and turneth it upside down and set you there and be clean in that rack? Let God do something that only he can do in your life, and then you'll be clean like you've never been clean before. Maybe you come into this men's meeting. Maybe you come into this men's retreat thinking, I'm just going to go and have fun and endure the preaching. And I'm just going to kind of get through it. But maybe God's put a blockade in front of you this morning and said, hey, we got one more service left. Why don't you get right with God now? Why don't you get, let him start wiping that out of your life and put you where he wants you to be, our precious Heavenly Father. I pray, dear Lord God, that you would help us to be clean before you. Help us, God, to be able to do only what you want us to do and serve you only instead of trying to make something for ourselves. God, may we allow you to clean us up and be used in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Evans. Amen.